Djalaluli v. Gonzalez. Mr. Marinov.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Plavne Marinov and I represent Mr. Sofian Djalaluli, the petitioner in this case. The main issue in this case is whether record evidence compels finding that Sofian is eligible for withholding of removal, either by establishing past persecution based on a protected ground, thus invoking the presumption of likelihood of future persecution, or alternatively by proving that it's more likely than not that he'll suffer future persecution once he returns to Algeria. First, the immigration judge did not make any specific credible determinations regarding the petitioner's testimony, and the board assumed credibility. Therefore, the testimony of the petitioner should be accepted as credible. Thus, Sofian testified that he worked as a dental technician, and he was also trained nurse at a dental clinic in a small town named Mafta. The police station in this village was bombed by Islamic terrorists and they moved next to the dental clinic. And he, because of his training, he became involved in everyday contact with the military and police personnel, providing various medical treatment, immunizations, medications, anything that was needed by these people. It's worth emphasizing that he knew that getting involved in this type of business could harm him. He testified that he knew that terrorists didn't like civilians who were helping military personnel, but nevertheless, he continued doing it until November 19, 1998, on which day, early in the morning, he got in his car, like 7 o'clock in the morning. As he was about to start moving, he heard the gunshot. He got out of the car to see what's happening. Neighbors told him, terrorists were in your house looking for you. He immediately abandoned the car, ran to the next village, where he stayed until dark, and then he moved to the adjacent big city of Bormeres, where his sister lived. On the next day, he found a terrorist had burned his car. His mother told him that they were looking for him and his brother, Jamel. And only 45 days after this incident, on January 3rd, his brother Jamel was shot dead by a terrorist group while he was in the telephone booth speaking on the phone with their mother. Since the morning of November 19, Djalaluli never returned to his village and he never returned to his job. He stayed for 1 year and a half in his sister's apartment in Bomerdas. He was on medications. He saw the medical treatment from a doctor to alleviate his condition. He suffered from severe depression. He did not work. He just stayed all day in the apartment. He was afraid to go out. Somehow he managed to get a tourist visa to come to the United States in May 2000. Here he consulted with psychologists and he was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. His mental illness prevents him from keeping a steady job. He hasn't worked since. Odd jobs, 2-3 months, and he cannot keep a longer job. He is on medication to alleviate his condition. He constantly thinks of killing himself. And the question becomes, based on these facts, what do we have here? The judge acknowledged that he received a very ominous threat, quote, but the threat was never acted upon. And as this court has pretty well established, unfulfilled threats don't amount to past persecution unless they left a possibility of imminent and menacing danger, as the court said in Boykov in 1997. The record evidence compels finding that what happened to Sofian was a failed attempt of assassination for the following reasons. There are details that were never addressed that specifically, in my opinion, suggest the intent to kill this individual. When we have an intent to kill somebody, this is the most important element of the crime. And we start with the facts of the morning in 1998. It is established that there was a gunshot in the air early in the morning. It was well established that there was a police station in the village. Why would terrorists fire a gunshot in the morning and thus apprise the police of their presence? It was a civil war. This court has commented on the civil war in Algeria in Hor v. Gonzalez 2005, in Ahmed v. Ashcroft in 2003, it is reasonable to assume that the police would come and shoot at you. They could get killed. There was something important to achieve in this situation. It is clearly established that they went looking for the two brothers, Sufyan and Jamal. Jamal was working as a security guard. Both were associated with the government. It is clear that the Islamic fundamentalists were funding with the government of Algeria to establish the Islamic regime. If they just had wanted to verbally threaten or beaten him, they wouldn't have done such an act to bring the attention of the public. Neighbors told the petitioner, there are terrorists in your neighborhood looking for you. The country report specifically point out that terrorists target civilians. It is clear, in my opinion, that they wanted to make an example of these two individuals to control the rest of the population, as it's clearly established by the country reports. But if we're not clear about their intent, let's go further. They burned petitioner's car. Two meanings. One symbolic, we will get you as we got your car. Second, more pragmatic one, without the car, the petitioner is not as mobile as he used to be. He becomes an easy target for a subsequent assassination. What really brings this case into the realm of past persecution is the murder of his brother Jamal. It is well established that he was in a telephone booth. He was not on his duty as security guard. He was not robbed. This was not a criminal act. There was no other motive to kill him but to carry out what they failed to do on November 19. Thus, in my opinion, all these things considered together show that the intent of the terrorist group was to kill this individual on November 19. This court said only threats of imminent and menacing nature could amount to past persecution. It is hard to think of anything more menacing than a failed attempt of assassination. In Nigeria, in 1990s, where between 100 and 150,000 people were killed, this court decided a very similar case in Horowitz and Ghazalis in 2005. Horowitz was a member of the Algerian ruling party, and he was captured by Islamic fundamentalists. He was brought to the DIA leader, who demanded some information from him. He promised to provide information. He never did, just to save his life. Then they captured him after 5 months at the false roadblock. And they were about to execute him when the police arrived and rescued him. He suffered from severe from post-traumatic disorder, just like Sufyan. And the judge and the court said, If this claim is to be believed, he established past persecution. In this case, he escaped narrowly the death by Islamic terrorist.
You want to save some time for rebuttal?
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Schutte?
May it please the court. My name is Margaret Schutte. I'm an assistant United States attorney from the Southern District of Indiana, and I represent the Attorney General of the United States. In this case, the petitioner is essentially asking this court to accept the proposition that being subjected to dangerous conditions alone is enough to grant withholding of removal. This is not the state of the law. In order to be granted such relief, a petitioner must demonstrate either past persecution, or that it is more likely than not that he will be subjected to future persecution. The petitioner in this case has not done that. With regard to the petitioner's application, this court should uphold the BIA's assessment that dangerous conditions alone, such as was the case here, without more, do not constitute persecution. This circuit has recognized that it is a hard and unpleasant truth that dangerous conditions alone are not enough to reach the threshold contemplated by Congress. Now, counsel pointed out the two recent cases dealing with the situation in Algeria. The first is the Ahmed versus Ashcroft case. In this case, this court considered the claim of a former Algerian military police officer. He contended that his brother had been threatened, and several of his friends who were also former military were killed. The petitioner in that case went into hiding for 2 years without incident before coming to the United States. This case is very similar to the case we have at issue here. In that case, this court upheld the BIA's finding that the petitioner did not show past persecution. The court noted that none of the threats were directly against the petitioner himself, as is the case here. Now, here, the government acknowledges that the petitioner's brother may have received threats and was killed, but the circumstances of his death are not even clear from the record. Also, in the Ahmed case, the court found persuasive the fact that the petitioner's threats were never directly against him. And that is also the case here. Now, counsel has described a situation, a sort of failed attempt at assassination, and that may or may not be the case. But the record suggests that it is not. The record does not show any direct threat against the petitioner, nor does it show why the terrorist may have been targeting the petitioner, if they were targeting the petitioner at all. As the country reports from Algeria suggest, there has been widespread violence in that country that has reached to many different segments of society. And nothing in this case shows that that violence was specifically targeted against the petitioner in this case. Now, the other case that the petitioner relies upon is Hoare versus Gonzalez, which this court decided in 2005. Now, in that case, the situation was much more grave than what is presented here. The counsel had suggested it's hard to think of anything more menacing than what happened to the petitioner in this case, but Hoare is exactly that example. In that case, the petitioner was taken at gunpoint and was demanded to provide information to the terrorist. He was also held in captivity as punishment for failing to give up that information and was threatened to be executed, only to be rescued by the police arriving moments before his execution. These were all in separate incidents. In the Hoare case, the petitioner asked for assistance from the government, which is not the case here, and the government declined. Finally, in that case, an Algerian court told the petitioner that he better be careful and watch out because of the threats received against him. And again, the government did not provide protection. In this case, the petitioner may have received one threat, and that threat, if it is to be believed, which is not necessarily even the case here, did not even induce him to leave Algeria. He remained in the country for over a year before deciding to come to the United States to receive some rest and get away from the general violence in the country. The government recognizes that the petitioner's circumstances may have been unfortunate, and it may be said that he experienced danger in his country. But unfortunate circumstances and dangerous conditions alone do not constitute persecution. As has been stated by this court in the Ahmed case, few segments of Algerian society have been spared from its depressing cycle of violence. And unfortunately, this may have been the case for the petitioner. But under the law of this circuit, such conditions alone, as were the case here, cannot form the basis of the petitioner's claim. For this reason, the court should deny the petition for relief. And if the court does not have any further questions, the government will rest on its brief.
Thank you, Ms. Shuri.
Thank you.
I just want to address several things. First, the government, I think, contradicts itself. The petitioner was subject to dangerous conditions throughout the country, and then it says he might have been threatened. I don't understand how it's possible to say that he was never purposefully targeted when they burned his car and they went to his house. The government tries to analogize this case with Ahmed. In Ahmed, twice the court specifically pointed out he never detailed any threats against himself. He talked about threats to his brother. He talks about the ambush that killed his fellow police officers. He never was threatened personally. In this case, as the government acknowledged, there was a threat against him. The country reports, even the country reports that was submitted into evidence, the country reports of 2003, acknowledge the violence still continues. They do say that the violence has decreased compared to the 90s, where disappearance and killings regularly occurred. As I said, 100,000 to 150,000 people were killed during the 90s. How much an improvement is enough to make this country safe? I'm not sure which case is stronger, frankly. As I said, with both cases, we deal with barely escaping death from Islamic fundamentalists. Hoare was put on the ground. He was about to be executed when the police arrived and they rescued him. How long does it take to pull a trigger if you really want to kill somebody? That's what bothers me. I'm not sure that they really had the intent to kill him. In this case, because of the murder of the brother, I don't have any doubt that they wanted to kill the petitioner. Remaining in the country, it's one thing to remain in the country because you want to, and live a normal life. It's another thing to be hiding in your sister's apartment for 1 year and a half. It's clearly established he did not go out. All the witnesses testified, by memory I'm citing, he was terrible. He was sitting always in the apartment. He never went out. He was afraid.
Marnoff, I'm going to have to ask you to conclude.
In conclusion, I'd like to, for this court, to grant the petitioners withholding of removal, alternatively, remand the case to the agency. Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.